Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready! Oh, hell yeah!
It's going to be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
It's the Calzone Classic Nitro Review. We're back in 1996, where everything's going a little bit black and white. Brother. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter with our portfolio, Tom Campbell, along with resident WCW kid, Sam Driver. Oh, I said your name.
Driver!
You having a lovely week?
Yeah, it's been all right.
You've had a haircut.
I've had a haircut, yeah. This is the last haircut before we start plans to growing it out again.
We've got to get
a whole plan in place because there's that awkward stage, especially with my hair being really straight.
Yeah.
It turns into like a burst couch for a bit. And then it's just this awkward like mop. So we need to get around all of that. So whether that's going to be a mullet or some sort of sick top knot or some other way around the awkward phase is what I need.
Oh, so that should be intriguing.
I just can't do the awkward 12-year-old hair again.
You quite look quite nice when it's a bit longer as well.
I used to have it down my chest. I used to have it down to like there.
Really?
Yeah, when I was like 13, 14.
I don't think I knew you back then, long before our time together. But that's exciting, though, growing your hair out.
Yeah.
Like it?
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
A lot of long hair in 96.
A lot of long hair in 96.
Where we are for Nitro once
more. Do you
know
what else there is in 96?
Dial-up internet.
There's a lot of maths.
A lot of maths.
Yeah, we'll get on to it in a bit.
I know what you mean. We're in 96, number one movie in the US in this particular week, Independence Day.
It's been out for like 4 weeks, guys. Stop watching it already.
I know, they love it. They bloody love it. Number one in the UK is Tin Cup.
Yay.
Remember Tin Cup?
I've heard of Tin Cup, never watched it.
It's a 96 movie about a failed golfer called Roy McAvoy.
Why isn't his name Tin Cup?
His nickname is Tin Cup.
Right.
Roy
Tin Cup. Why isn't his nickname Tin Wolf? That would have been so much cooler. I'm Tin Wolf.
Hi, I'm Tin Wolf. I think
and
that's a different
series. He
plays
golf with like an eye patch, like a leather eye patch. And he's just got these mysterious like battle scars. You know, I think that should have been the way forward.
We should have thought of that.
History. God.
Come on, guys. Try harder. It's
Can
a love.
Can you imagine, though, like back in the 1700s or something, the guy's nickname was just Face Puncher. And you're looking back over like all these old texts, and lo, Face Puncher did descend and punch the king in the face.
Skull Crusher Henderson.
Yeah.
Back when nicknames
Johnny Stabs
were good.
A lot. Just like loads of names like
you
that.
You knew where you stood with Johnny Stabs a lot, yeah, didn't you? Yeah. Like, if he was an arse to you, you knew he was an arse. You know, he was Johnny Stabs a lot. What do you expect?
If he wasn't stabbing you, though, does that mean that he likes you or he doesn't like you?
I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's the equal opportunity. I think he'll stab you whether he likes you or not.
He is Johnny Stabs a lot.
The stabbing has no real...
it's indiscriminate, right?
It's indiscriminate
Anybody,
stabbing.
You know, yeah. It's just vicinity thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He is not related to Gene Wanks-a-lot Oakland, though.
Oh, God, if you missed last week and you're jumping in here, this is going to be a lot of masturbation conversation.
This is a cold bath for you. Good luck.
Yeah, Tin Cup, the story of a failed pro golfer who takes on a foxy novice, female psychiatrist, Dr. Molly Griswold. And it looks as if she's going to get him on his right track and they're going to fall in love.
Is Molly Griswold played by Molly Ringwald?
Sadly not. Oh, that was the right was, there. Yeah, it that was right, right there. There, yeah.
Could have just taken on Molly Ringwald, changed the story. It's Hollywood anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably already changed the story. He was probably a competitive cyclist or something in real life. Cycling's not in right now, guys. Golf is it.
You know what kids love? Golf. Number one song in the US, Macarena. Number one song in the UK, Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
Oh my God, there's so much more to go of it as well.
Wannabe's nearly done.
Oh, thank God.
Macarena, a little bit longer. We've still got a bit longer in the oven for Macarena.
Has I saw the sign come out yet?
Not yet, no.
Oh, thank God.
But it'll open up your eyes.
Good.
When it gets there. Open up your mind, sorry. That opens the third eye.
Prying open my third eye.
Prying it open with your bare knuckles. The Observer this week for the World of Wrestling in 1996. Interesting week for fans of Bret Hart. Now, Bretty Boy is currently off WWF television. He did a little bit on their international tour. He's filming scenes for the show Sinbad.
Yes.
And he is possibly out of the WWF. He looks like he's coming out of contract.
They gave him a 20-year deal.
Well, not yet. They haven't.
Oh, you're on about they're going to give him a 20-year deal.
They are, but that doesn't stop WCW from having a little sniff around.
No, it doesn't.
The Observer says WCW sources have confirmed there was indeed dialogue with Bret Hart going on as we speak, but they didn't think anything going on between the two sides could be termed at all serious. According to an internet report, which may have reliability because of other facts regarding Hart, and it was accurate, and things would be widely known, stated that Hart would be writing all about it shortly in his column in the Calgary Sun. So keep an eye on the Calgary Sun for when it rises.
Get them back issues out, lads.
Get them out.
Well, it's a weird one, the Brett WCW initial talks, because Brett ultimately chooses loyalty like an old school wrestler would, right? Mm-hmm. Like Flair did, like Harley Race did when they were presented with jump across. Nah. And then just the, you know, sure, Brett chooses loyalty. Sean and Vince choose violence. Well, not even Sean. Vince chooses violence. Sean's just an accessory to. Sean's just the weapon. Sean's the dagger in the night.
I think many in 1996 would describe Shawn Michaels as a weapon.
Oh, yeah. In every sense of the word.
Absolute weapon. But yeah, so it was an interesting one with, there's that and obviously the few other bits in the episode which we're going to talk about as we go through today's show because there's quite a few things to dissect here. But certainly Bret Hart's possible arrival into World Championship
Wrestling.
It's
amazing. They would definitely know so much to do with Bret Hart.
Oh my God.
They would have so many ideas. You know, you just look at what happens later and you could tell WCW was a company that knew what they were doing in signing Bret Hart.
They knew.
They fucking ruined it. They fucking ruined it.
How'd you get handed a golden goose?
And then you bring him in as a fucking special guest referee for one to start things off. Well, I can't quite legally wrestle yet, but I can be in the ring. Fuck that. Bring him in and have him fucking wrestle. Who cares if everybody knows he's jumping? Just fucking.
We'll talk about that next
and
year.
And everybody loves the fucking, you know, the shoulder plate spot, but it's so awkwardly clunky when you actually watch it back and it's not the super cut down one WWE always shows.
Oh, yeah, the full
when
version.
When he goes down, it's just sort of like, well, they're both down? What's going on? For like 2.5 minutes, and then Brett starts shuffling like he's been hit by a plane and somehow survived. And he just sort of takes off the plate and he's like, yeah!
I quit.
Oh, God.
We got all that to look forward to, you'll be excited to say. For Nitro this week, we're in Palmetto, Florida. They are a fucking grim crowd. All they seem to do tonight is boo.
They are. It feels like this is taking place in like a fucking cavern. Right. And these people have been sat in the damp, dark, cold for fucking hours. And, you know, they've not even had a sniff of music, lights, anything. They've just been sat. Oh. And then in they walk, turn the lights on, and it's not improved from there. All fucking night. And it affects the quality of the matches big time.
Oh, like, my God. And some of the...
me. There's a match that I looked at on this card going, all right. And it was dog wank simply because the crowd weren't fucking involved. The crowd were just sort of looking at it like they just sort of shit on their breakfast table.
Dog wank.
And I'm like, What the fuck?
How does one? How does one dog wank a match like this? We find out together. And you know what? They waste no time this week on Nitro. Literally, the bell is sounding as the intro is going off.
Oh,
the
God, yeah, it's going a packed off. Show this week.
Packed to the rafters. Billy Kidman in our opening contest.
Fuck Kidman, we saw him 2 weeks ago. Who's he up against?
He's against the debuting Juventud Guerrero.
The fucking juice. Yes.
Yeah, straight out of Mexico. There's been a lot of conversations about him. Guys, we've seen him in ECW.
Billy Kidman, as if he's important. We've already seen him. He got taken out of his packet last week or 2 weeks ago, and we've sort of scuffed him up a bit now. Now we got Hoovy. Hoovy's all clean and fresh and new.
Who are you, Tony Khan?
Yeah.
I don't want to play with you anymore. The Juice is officially on the loose in World Championship Wrestling after he was showcased in ECW, which has kind of become the training ground for WWF and WCW, whether they like it or not.
It's just become the market floor. It hasn't really been money. I'll have that, and you'll get this.
They're going to waste no time with Juventud Guerrero.
Do you want all snow back?
All right. I want to refund this. Value's decreased because you took him out of the box. Al Snow, by the way, on the podcast feed this week.
Hey!
Had a lovely chat with Al on Monday,
about wrestlers on Netflix.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Have you seen it? Yeah, I've only seen one episode so far.
Mm.
So it's been very good.
I'll mention this bit here. So that first episode that you saw. So Al Snow's office is like a bit of a revolving door, which we talk about. And there's one scene where this lad certified just comes in, cuts a promo, and then leaves. And I was like, that was weird. Like, is that a thing? And he pops up again throughout it. And then I have this, we chatted to Al about it and asked him about it. And the clip that we put online mentions him, fucking certifies him with DMs this morning. He's all right. He's lovely.
He's coming for you, Tom.
He's coming for me, but I'm going to meet him in the past.
Get North to book him and let's have him absolutely fuck you up.
Go on, my God. Don't do it. I don't want to have a good
book. We'll do the Al Snow certified light tubes and everything. He loves them. He loves them. Can't get enough of them.
He loves the light tubes as Al Snow. Look out for Certified coming soon. We're going to meet in the past and we're going to get him on. I want to have a chat with Certified. He'll be on the podcast feed in a bit. Juventud Guerrero in his debut here.
No, it's Juventud Guerrero, Tom.
Oh, God, no. Unless you're Larry Zbysko. Very confused by the concept of there being more than one wrestler with a Guerrero name.
He goes, like, they talk about the difference in the names. It's not Guerrero, it's Guerrero. And then it's like, oh, this is too close for me. And I'm just sort of like, whoa.
Yeah, he famously warred with Larry Zbysko, who lived just down the road. No, don't count. Stop it.
In fairness, I don't think Hoovy'd be a very good neighbour.
I think he'd be a hilarious neighbour.
He'd be hilarious. Yeah. But, like a Simpsons kind of way. Simpsons can't be very good neighbours.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. A wacky bad neighbour type thing. Actually, Simpsons are terrible neighbours, aren't they?
They're just terrible people.
Mm.
Like, quite a lot of the time.
Simpsons.
But it's the same as Seinfeld, right? They're all terrible people. Everybody looks at Seinfeld now and goes, all these people are horrible. And it's like, the show shows you what happens if you're a horrible person.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. Every week, if you behave like a dick, shit happens to you.
Some of the best people in sitcoms are just horrible people.
Yeah.
We're watching the new series of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They are horrible people.
It's horrible people.
But I love watching them.
But that's the thing, right? They're not real. It's fine.
We can laugh at them.
I know Jerry Seinfeld's real, but I'm not sure if it is or not.
Oh, I don't know. I think it might be
real.
Because
he's so rich now, surely he's just got a robot version of himself.
Just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Like
just
that.
Whenever he's got to be on TV, they just set it up in TV mode and away he goes.
Like that Seinfeld experiment they did on Twitch.
Yeah.
That then got really racist and transphobic.
Yeah, very quickly.
They left an AI just to write its own episodes of Seinfeld and animate them. I was fascinated.
Mm.
And I love stuff like that. I'm always intrigued by stuff like that. And I showed it to Alex, my good lady. And this, what I like is there's enough about us that's slightly different. And she watched it and went, what's the point?
It's a show about nothing, anyway.
It's just the fact that we can do it.
But it's a show about nothing forever. Like, yeah, it will never end.
Exactly.
Until racism.
Until racism happens.
At which point it had to be cut down like a fucking burning tree. Like, get out! No, stop. You're not going to burn everything else.
Try again next year. Fingers crossed.
The same guy did the... Not the same guy. A similar thing, but there's a guy who did the talking banana. Do you remember that? on Twitch. He just had this mechanical rubber banana that talked. So whenever anybody donated money, it would read it out. And he'd leave it running. And of course, the first thing that happened when he left it running and wasn't present was people tried to get it to say very naughty things.
Oh my God.
And it became this one-man war against like finding every single word or combination of words they could use to make certain phrases. And he sort of had to keep trying to stay one foot ahead of him.
Bloody hell. Yeah. So moving to Guerrero...
Anyway,
First tangent of the day. They have high hopes and big plans straight off the bat because at Full Brawl, we're going to see Humberto Guerrero versus Conan for the, quote, Mexican title.
Yes.
I don't think it's the AWW Mexican title. I think it's just...
It's in a AAA one?
It'll be presumably the AAA one.
AAA.
That's what's happening. So the AAA is going to be showcased at Full Brawl. So Humberto Guerrero is getting a run out here. And he hits a lovely electric chest on set flip. He hits a lovely pescado leg drop. And he hits a lovely springboard plancha.
It's just very, very showcasey, this match.
Kidman gets a bit, though. I know you weren't keen on the Kidman.
I love Billy Kidman, but, you know, we saw him 2 weeks ago. Yeah. We've seen all these wrestlers loads, to be honest. I don't know. You get new ones. More.
Let's keep more. Bringing new wrestlers in.
Bring them in. Bring in old ones as well.
Boop, boop.
As long as I've not seen them for a bit.
Just dump them there.
Stick them in some new outfit. Grand. Glacier's actually been 7 people on the roster so far. It's funny you've never seen Glacier and Jim Powers in the same room before.
I just thought they'd fallen out. Kidman counters a springboard with a power bomb. That gives him a little bit of a flurry from here. He gets a near fall off a shooting star press, very near fall. But this is Hoovy's night. He wins with a top rope Frankensteiner, which Larry Zbysko calls a flying fajita because Larry Zbysko.
Yeah.
Well
and
done,
then,
Larry.
Bless him. Hoovy gets eviscerated by the audience.
Right, yeah. So, Gene...
Like, it's not even... It's just straight evisceration. Gene does the Oscars playoff and everything. It's fucked.
Oh, it's really bad. So Mean Gene speaks to Juventud and is up front.
He specifies to the audience, you know, like as you were about to say, I imagine. The guy can't speak English right very well. But he says this to the audience.
Yeah.
Like just as a, hey guys, like he can't really speak English very well. And then they just eat him alive. It's like fucking watching Jaws circle the boat.
He does his first part of his promo in Mexican, in Spanish, rather, with the Mexican. He does it in Spanish, and booze just rained down on him.
Yeah.
Really rained down on him.
Yeah.
Horrible crowd. He then attempts in English to talk about the New World Order.
Yeah.
What's the quote that we get from him regarding it? You sent it to me.
I've got it written down. I can get it now.
Now, he talks about how in Mexico they're familiar with the New World Order. There is an English language barrier and boos from the crowd that are making this quite difficult to understand.
Yeah, and as the boos are getting louder, he's obviously getting more flustered and Gene's like, oh, for fuck's sake. But he just sort of screams then, all Mexico is a scare, have a scare, but they have to. And then Gene kind of... just sort of goes, anyway, and just sort of tries to wrap up.
Gene was a real cunt here.
Yeah.
Because he goes, you know what? We're out of time. Take it up with someone else. I'm having a tough time here. What a prick.
Well, in fairness, here comes some maths. Assuming Gene began a fair game this evening at the start time of the show. He had a leisurely stroll through round 1, clocking in at 5 minutes 48 on the Gene watch timer brought to you by Rolex. So if you shave a minute or two off that,
roll one off,
he was
Lex.
In the ring ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like pretty good round 1.
I assume he would have had a leisurely first one, maybe 5-10 minutes before they started. There's no rush.
That's just that inviting danger. You got to do some stretches. Some tight turnarounds tonight, Tom.
So Gene's first wank, done. He is off and running, and quite literally running. Holy fuck, Sam, we're getting new Glacier footage.
We are.
New
Glacier footage?
Yeah.
We've seen him prancing around outside the church.
No, but this is new church footage.
Is it?
Yeah. We haven't seen the smoking pit before.
Oh, right, the smoking pit. I didn't even notice all that. Yeah. And I just looked away, kept writing.
And he's swinging a weapon around now. He's got a staff. Didn't have a staff before. He was just doing karate.
What is all this for? Like, it's
wrestling. That's what it's for.
It's like you've been fucking teasing this Glacier character for ages. He's gone from being just a logo with no name to Glacier coming soon to fucking snow and blood runs cold, and then Glacier coming soon, And then it was like, hey, he's doing kung fu outside an ice church, isn't this a cool guy? And it was like, okay, Glacier coming soon. And then it's like, oh, he's doing kung fu outside of a church, except now he's got a light up glove. And that was after the Toy Fair disaster. And now he's got a fucking staff. Like, are they just, like, as a kid, I remember just not really being asked about this. Like, it's like, I wouldn't have been saying, oh, he's got a stick. Like, his figure's going to be amazing. What? Just bring him out, man.
No, coming soon.
Bring him out.
Coming soon.
Fucking Via Mahan levels of shit. Just shithousery. I'm done. I want Glacier now. And I'm not the only person as well.
You're not, as we'll get to. As Tony and Larry talk about Sting and Lex's Horseman Alliance last week, the crowd are booing wildly. I don't know what's happening in the ring, but they're really unhappy.
I don't know. Maybe they thought they were all going to a WWF event. Maybe WCW diverted loads of tour buses. They paid the tour bus drivers to circle them back around into a WCW venue.
Larry proves that every man is always at some point thinking about the Roman Empire, because Alexander the Great and the Roman Empire, if Luger and Sting can't get on with the Horsemen, the next empire could be the New World Order.
I saw this meme, and I do think about the Roman Empire a lot.
I thought about the Roman Empire loads since seeing the meme.
This is the area we live in, right? I live right on the old city walls and shit. Like, Hadrian's Wall's running right through the town.
Mm.
So, like, there's Roman shit everywhere in Newcastle.
It was called Newcastle because it was a new castle that was built to keep people out.
Get rid of all the non-Newcastle people. We should still have city walls, Tom.
Keep
any southerner out.
Oh, no.
Where'd you come from? Luton? Yes. You can go around the walls. You're not coming through.
Would I have to walk in and get on a bus and go, why, yay, man, I'm off
No,
home.
You just go, I work for BBC Radio Newcastle. Go, you're allowed in.
I thought it might be that scene from The Great Escape as I'm getting on the bus.
You're
going,
still
going
to have to do a very
man.
Intimidating like border check with somebody just sort of sitting staring at you in papers, please, style.
Ah, oh, no.
And you've got to kind of stand there and just be like, I've got to get in.
What you having for your tea? For my tea, I'm having a steak slice. Where from? Greg's. Mm-hmm. All right, fine, it's fine. Okay. Who's the king of the world? It's Jimmy Nail.
So what?
Okay, that's it. Yeah. Well done. Thank you. Are you going and doing the tune? Why I?
We should just have a blimp as well for sightings of anybody leaving Sunderland.
just a
Lord of the Rings style horn. Lock the city doors.
And just as I pass through, as I get on the coach, the bus driver goes, good luck. And I go, tarpab. Oh, no.
He's hauled off.
give me the game away.
Just drag to St. James's and chain to a fence and make me watch them play.
No, don't make me watch Newcastle United. I'm a Sheffield fan. So Tony and Larry talk about the Roman Empire, as we all are.
Yeah.
Marcus Bagwell, American Males theme kit.
Marcus, as in Marcus Aurelius.
As in the... Oh, God, we're going to be thinking about the Roman Empire all show now. I'm not surprised. American Males music hits. Marcus Bagwell, no Scotty Riggs.
No, because Scotty's a weakling that got injured.
Injured during...
Whereas we've got the solo Merry Male, Marcus Bagwell.
He is an American Male.
Merry Male, Marky Bags.
Merry Male, Marky Bags.
And he's dressed like a court jester from the Middle Ages. He's got little bells on. And he's just sort of sauntering down.
I say, my king...
No, that's not until Scott Steiner in about a year's time. Ooh, Scotty! I'll do anything you say!
So no Scotty Riggs, but we have a replacement in Teddy Long flanked Jim Powers. The real American Male. American Male's 2.0, quite possibly.
Teddy Long kind of gives him a bit of a hype talk as they're on the way down the ramp. It's pretty nice.
Teddy Long used to manage Marcus Bagwell in WCW. So there's a nice little throwback there. I like it. They're setting them up as a nice little team. They are facing Kevin Sullivan and Big Bubba Rogers. Dave Penza's microphone cuts out midway through because we've been able to hear Dave Penza.
Yeah.
And then it clicks off. So we just hear... And I fear this may be the rest of our lives with Dave Penza. Please come back, Dave. He does come back later, don't worry. A picture-in-picture reminds us that the Taskmaster is quite good with the wrestling...
Yeah, so he's been around a while, but he's still all right. It's Kevin Sullivan.
And he's in his normal ring Lock attire up your tonight.
He's Florida. He's a Satanist, and he's going to turn them all over the devil. Look at what he did to Nancy. She can't keep her hands off her Gene. She's evil.
Gene's having to wank round the clock to sort it out.
No, they're two unrelated matters.
Are they two unrelated?
Nancy's maybe being sent by the board to try and throw him off his game. It is a competitive sport, remember? maybe it's some like mob connections that are like, no, we need Gene to lose this week. They need him to throw the fight, and he's like, I ain't throwing no fight. And so they send in people to kind of mess with him.
I'm sorry. You know, personal peccadillos accepted. How is Nancy Sullivan giving you a little gentle rub on your chest, meant to make you wank less?
I suppose it's meant to make him
wank more.
Basically to throw himself off of his game. He's got to pace himself through the night,
so
right?
So therefore he's doing them more often.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, by the end, he's packered.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's it, right? They just need him to throw the fight.
Him to spaff the fight so he can't fight anymore. Jim Powers batters Kevin Sullivan on the outside. Powers looks brilliant here.
Yeah, Powers really should be getting more going on, and then it just sort of fizzles away.
It's weird. This is really odd. This fudge together American males combo are doing okay until Bubba starts battering bags. Then we see Sullivan land his tree of woe. Hey, they teased that in the video package.
I mentioned it, and then they showed it three times, and we're seeing it again. It's Kevin Sullivan.
He likes the thing where he runs into the corner and throws his body at your balls. It's Kevin Sullivan.
Hoof to the chap. It's Kevin Sullivan.
Hoof to the chap. Lock up your dad. It's Kevin Sullivan. Hot tag to Powers.
Every time you come back, lock up your grandma. It's noted local Satanist Kevin Sullivan.
Noted local pervert Kevin Sullivan.
Your grandma's dead? Well, unfortunately, that's not going to stop local noted Satanist Kevin Sullivan. He'll dig her up and use her in a strange ritual.
Turn off your ice cream van.
Next thing, she'll just be sort of stroking Mean Gene's arm on national TV. You really want that?
Of course you don't. It's Kevin Sullivan. Hot tag to Powers proves effective. They send Jimmy Hart packing, and then Powers lands a big old crossbody onto Big Bubba Rogers. Gets a three count. American Males 2.0 win the day. Wait a minute. It's fucking Nick Patrick, isn't it? And Nick Patrick says, no, he got his shoulder up. Restart the match. And in the confusion, Big Bubba lands the old boss man slam and gets the 1-2-3 on Powers.
I think it was justified.
Oh, no.
I'm not having a match end by crossbody, Tom. I don't care if it was the real finish. Nick Patrick was just looking out for our entertainment.
Oh, is that what he was doing? Bloody hell, Patrick.
Crossbody to put Big Bubba away?
Big crossbody? And by crossbody? Heavy boy Jim Powers?
Crossbody? Yeah. It'd be like using a DDT as a finish.
You're making me a crossbody for not agreeing. Admittedly, on anyone else hitting a crossbody, I'd be all in with you. But it's Jim Powers, who's a bulky boy.
In fairness, I'm happy that the DDT is back to kind of its former glory. But you know, we remember when the DDT was just a connector move in like 2002?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what crossbodies have always felt like. So when someone wins with one, I'm just like, what? What happened? What happened? Where's it gone? What's happened?
What's gone wrong?
Yeah.
Teddy Long argues with Nick Patrick, but the result stands. Mean Gene gets back in the ring, sorted his trousers out, and he talks to the Dungeon of Doom. Big Bubba Rogers should be getting all the title shots and should be in all the main events. He won't be overlooked anymore. And then, to much of Sam Driver's delight, he goes, what about this Glacier character?
Finally. What? Somebody with the balls to bring up fucking Glacier.
What's the deal with Glacier? You keep saying you're coming. Well, come in then. Come on then, baby. Let's go. Jimmy Hart says Glacier's blood runs cold. The only thing that's going to run will be you when you get in there next week.
Glacier, if you're coming, come on. I'll let you have a little bit of this, and points to his chest.
Come on, me tits, is what Big Bubba Rogers has said there. Gene Oakland getting hot under the collar. This is interesting. Taskmaster then goes, hey, Gene, I saw you hanging out with Hulk Hogan last week.
Yeah.
Mean Gene immediately throwing someone else under the bus, saying, that wasn't me, that was Eric Bischoff. You can almost hear a bit of a, ooh, from the crowd as he says that.
It's because someone dropped their beer on the back row.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. I thought for a second
you can't
they gave
tell me
a
that
shit about the crowd.
Fucking actually watching any of the evening except no. for like the front row people.
That's true.
Like, it was shocking, man.
So Hogan hanging out with Gene, I'm assuming that this was something that happened in real life in IRL where Hogan and Gene were probably hanging and banging
together.
And
yeah.
they've just sort of addressed it on television in this sort of haphazard way. And also this is around the time where there was...
Sullivan's like, yeah, I saw you with Hogan at this exact bar. Here's the address in Florida at this time on Wednesday evening. Do you want to explain that, Gene? You were drinking a nice looking cocktail, weren't you, Gene? Out of a big glass. And it's just really just minute details.
You look a bit flushed, Gene.
Yeah.
Like you've been doing some rigorous.
It wasn't a competition day,
exercise.
Was it? It's usually Mondays.
Is it a training day, Gene?
How do you train?
Does Hogan help? Yeah, both of you.
Shouting encouragement through the bathroom door.
Go on, brother. Tug that dick, brother. I'll give it to you.
For those of you who care about Gene Watch, brought to you by Rolex.
Rolex.
Gene's had a leisurely stroll through this portion of the evening so far. WCW even trying to push him as an athlete this week. 18 minutes 53, meaning that Gene's had about 13 minutes to play with. And you've got to wonder what he did with the other 12.
Playing with.
Yeah.
So compared to his performance last week, is it looking... It's a stronger start, isn't it?
It's a stronger start. Mm. I mean, that's for sure.
For if you're joining us for the first time, we're commenting and documenting Mean Gene's wanks during the segments.
Don't ask us how we ended up here. You know, we're not entirely sure anymore.
Best not to ask.
Just watch last week.
Yeah. You'll get it. You'll figure it out next. It's fine. It all makes sense at the end. It's fine. G asks if Nick Patrick's hand has been greased by the Taskmaster to his... Fuck, mate. Fuck, mate. That's his exact words! He exactly says... Your hand been greased. To which Taskmaster says, everybody's entitled to a mistake, Gene. Like you. Hanging out with Hogan. With your greasy hand. Oh my God. Anyway, we all know that palm greasing during a tournament season is considered bannable offense.
You don't want to use any performance enhancing salves or anything like that.
No, absolutely not.
Dry rub all the way.
Savlon have been chased out of the competition and they're not involved in any way.
How's he going to build up the calluses to be a real competitor?
These are the hands of a champion.
Champion what, Dad? You'll learn when you're a bit older.
Yeah, I'll tell you when you're older. Backstage, Mean Gene rushes.
Just as I said, are they even trying this week? A real challenge. Back to back. You'll notice Gene is not wanking. That's because he is a pro.
It's because the camera is just slightly down.
But he made do on what connoisseurs of the sport refer to as the Belgian back-to-back. 21 minutes, 11, registering an official Gene Watch time of 2 minutes, 18. Brought to you by Rolex, a consummate professional. But he's with Sting and Luger.
They're looking at him funny to start with.
Gene, it smells weird.
Gene, mate, calm down.
Your moustache is really sweaty.
Gene, we're worried about you. Gene, can you not do it on a day that is at Nitro? Because you're busy enough as it is. Before Fall Brawl, Lex and Sting have been challenged by Steve McMichael and Chris Benoit. They have taken their spots in the Horsemen's team for War Games.
And initially it was fine, but now we need to have a match just to make sure they're men enough to actually take on the challenge.
Luger's up for it. Sting sees it as a gut check, and Flair has warned them that they should never question he and Luger's intestinal fortitude. He's very open to the idea that, look, if this match goes awry, he knows that Flair and Arn will come out and help their boys.
Lex is just looking at it as a ticket back to the big time. He's like, I used to be in the Horsemen.
No.
Just get in there, fucking kick Mongo out. I'll be gravy.
I want to be back on that gravy train.
Best lineup ever.
Mike Anus. He's in action next. He's facing Chavo Guerrero.
In this match guide very badly.
Now, I could give you it or you could give it yours. I'm very intrigued to hear how you have graded. All I'll say is, in terms of my notes, I will say that Chavo's music, I thought, sounded like a ripoff of Bad Street Atlanta GA.
Yeah.
And also, Tony announces during this that at Halloween Havoc, it's going to be Hogan versus Randy Savage, just as the Gypsy Woman said. It was reported months ago that the MGM Grand want a Slim Jim Halloween Havoc main event of Hogan and Savage. They just have to navigate their way there. And lo and behold, they have.
Well,
over to you.
Anus proves his otherworldly strength before he releases Chavo all over the floor. He then picks him up and dumps him in the ring. Anus flexes, now playing with the Chavo he released all over the floor, stretching him out, squeezing him. He flings Chavo primarily as Conan watches on, engrossed by Anus's power. Dick has now joined the Anus party. He stands there, hooded, stirring as Anus hoists Chavo, but falling victim to the weight of his own actions. Randy gets a thumbing before Dick finally springs into action. Dick brushes Anus to the side. He's the main attraction now. Dick pummels Chavo, only for Chavo to roll him up for the win. Dick and Anus then bicker. Their fun for the evening ruined.
It's beautiful.
Mean Gene couldn't have written it better.
It's like a form of weird art. That's basically the match. It's yeah. The finish. I will lament on this as Dirty Dick comes out looking like Taz with a fucking towel over his head, and Anus eye gouges the referee at one point. To which Dick, who's wearing the only similarity between Dick Anus and sorry Mike Anus. The team's called Dick Anus. Between Mike Anus and Dick Slater, the only similarity is they're wearing the same trousers. They've got their own pairs. Obviously, they're not in the same trousers.
Dick gets in and he's like, no, you fuck off. Get out of the ring, Anus. And then he tries to wrestle the match and loses. And the ref counts it anyway, even though he's not a fucking competitor.
No. But the ref just sees, well, those look like the guy's trousers. I won't look any further up the body.
Was it Nick Patrick?
No.
Well,
it
that's what you get when you don't use Nick Patrick.
It was Randy Anderson.
Fucking. Oh, Randy was in there with Dick and Anus.
Yeah, Randy, Dick and Anus all over Chavo's.
And what's going to happen, like the classic, you know, some say the oldest tag team in the world, Dick and Anus. Like, what happens when they fall apart? That's like a rift that I don't think we're ready to bridge in 1996.
Dick and Anus, they're close yet so far apart. What?
Locked in an eternal struggle.
It is still a mystery why the body was designed with the ignition so close to the exhaust, but there it is. I called this twin tragic on their part, and I hope it's something that we see more of, where Dick and Anus try to swap places.
They should have just given them a twins gimmick where they insist that they're twins. They finish each other's sentences. Dick Slater would hate it. It would be so fun.
But they're really shit.
Yeah.
We finish each other's, yes!
No, he's got to proper nudge him, stand on his foot like the Mr. Thompson.
We finish each other's
sandwiches.
Trousers. Gene is on the ramp and he's chatting to Chavo Guerrero.
Gene's
straight in there. We'll get a time in a moment.
Yes, we will.
He calls out Diamond Dallas Page as Chavo Guerrero. He says getting whipped by Page only put coal on the fire. And he's going to teach Page some respect at Fall Brawl. Chavo says when you mess with one Guerrero, you mess with all of them. Over to Sam Driver for the Mean Gene Wank time.
The Gene Report.
The Gene Report.
So 29:54 is the registered time of Gene's appearance here, which means he's not had a lot of time here. But compared to the last challenge, this must have been a walk in the park. 8 minutes, 43 seconds on the official Gene Watch timer brought to you by Rolex.
He's doing all right.
We do see Gene again quickly after this, but it was a pre-record. So he's flogging T-shirts. I'm assuming that he was, you know, probably... you know, doing that in the additional 12 minutes he had earlier.
I assume he did.
Yeah.
Gene Okerlund and Bobby Heenan are in a T-shirt commercial for the new Nitro Grey Tees.
Bobby's got his T-shirt on backwards. What's he like, eh?
But he's got his hands in such a way where it looks like they're at the front. Like,
oh, my God.
Gene pulls him up on this and says, you're wearing your shirt the wrong way around. And Bobby Heenan says, shirt's on right, your head's on wrong. That was a good line from Bobby, to be fair. I was into it. Yeah, buy yourself a WCW t-shirt. Reasonably priced now at $19.95.
Yeah.
Far better than that fucking Hog Wild jacket.
Which was like $95.
In 96!
Fucking ridiculous. I was embroidered and everything, but it was fucking hell.
Still a lot of money. We have Mr. JL taking on Rey Mysterio next. Surely this will be a banger. Rey goes to the camera. I got the belt, Dean. I know you want it. Why don't you come and get it? So he's throwing down the challenge to Dean Malenko. JL is very mysterious, says Tony Schiavone on commentary. Yes. I'd argue that Rey Mysterio is more mysterious.
Well, they make mention of the fact that Mr. JL is not of Mexican or Asian extraction.
No.
Which is like the most clarification we've had on JL.
Yes.
So far.
We're just like, guess who? Is he from Asia? Is he from Japan? No.
He's from America. Okay. Is he from Texas?
Knock down the heads.
It's the biggest guess who ever. Every wrestler.
A strangely slow affair. Long headlocks and series of arm drag spots between the two. They're clearly in no rush tonight. As they're fighting, Hollywood Hogan arrives in the backstage area with the Outsiders. They go up to the production truck with their spray paint cans and the Marauders start spraying NWO for life.
NWO for life.
All over the production truck.
Paul and Nasharoo just getting involved. It's ridiculous.
Hogan's 43 at this point. What's he doing graffiti in?
He's being cool.
He's just being...
He saw that Bart Simpson do it on the telly. El Hogan.
El Hogo. I was terrified when I saw that Hogan was 43 at this point because that means at the time that we're seeing Hulk Hogan here in Nitro in 96, he's only 3 years younger than me.
Oh.
And it looks like that's not the case.
Well, at least you don't have the skin of a hot dog.
I mean, that's the big difference. Yeah. I haven't got hot dog skin yet. I eat hot dogs. I don't have the skin of one. Dean Malenko comes out to watch Rey versus JL as we go back to the ring.
It's disgusting, isn't it? They're still fucking wrestling.
He's just still very slow wrestling.
How dare they? Do they not know who's outside?
They should all stop and watch.
They should. I'm being honest. The crowd's not into it.
JL goes down on all fours and invites some Greco-Roman wrestling from Rey Mysterio, which eventually Rey agrees to, and then they have a little clean break. Okay. Then JL says, hey, Rey, your turn. Get on all fours and I'll Greco-Roman wrestle you. Eventually, Rey is convinced to do so, and JL just hits him. And then this is just a very slow submission-y bit. Long Boston crab, long half crab, long surfboard stretch. And I'm going, why isn't this lighting the world up like I thought it
would? I'm just thinking, why did we come back into this arena? So handily, they cut back to Hogan outside.
Yeah, there he is, having a little spray. Just being a dick.
And I'm like, all right, well, by the time we go back, it'll be a quick roll-up. And went, no, we go back.
We are still going. Hour two of Nitro begins, and noticeably, the pace of this match picks up, and then the penny starts to drop. Rey missing, but landing a Hurricane Rana off the steel steps looks incredible. Rey ends the match after a minute or two after Nitro Hour 2 started, crunching JL with a West Coast Pop Hurricane Rana. Nearly lands on his neck here. Yeah. Jeebus.
They look gnarly.
Now, I think I figured this out. They had to pad.
Of course they did.
So, but therefore, you've got this really long bit for the last 10 minutes.
The pacing of this was fucking exceptionally shit.
Yeah.
Because you had, hey, we've got this cruiserweight match. Great, these are usually really exciting. Slow. Cut to Hogan. All right, yeah, back we go. It's still fucking glacial pace here, boys. Well, oh, we're back to Hogan, all right.
Glacier.
Come back, and then it starts to pick up a bit because you got hour two. Oh, my God, fireworks. Look at them fighting each other for it. Ad break. And then you come back off on an ad break, and then you get the fucking finish. It was like stretched over four. It felt like four segments, this match.
Yeah, they really milled.
Four segments.
Badly paced. These two could have, you know, easily gone like a good five, six, seven, fast-paced, high-octane. Yeah. But they had to pad it for numerous reasons. Bad planning, I think, on WCW's part. But they picked it up at the end, so that was fine. Backstage we go. There's Mean Gene.
Round five.
He's got the horsemen gathered around him with woman giving him a good caressing as well, part of the plan to throw him off his game. On Gene's hotline, it's been reported that the Chicago Bears want Mongo back. Mongo says, I'm not here to substantiate your 1-900 number. I'm like, yeah, Mongo.
Fuck you, Gene.
Fuck you, Gene. They're there to take care of Sting and Luger. Woman then gets accosted by Gene for like continuing to find fondle him. And then woman goes, hey, you think I'm bad. You were hanging out with Hulk Hogan this week.
Yeah.
And Gene balks at this once again. Like,
he's just not having it.
Are we really pushing Gene as an NWO?
He already is. He's secret number four.
Oh, no.
He is. No. He's got to be.
Benoit says he didn't give up his spot in War Games. Tonight is about he didn't give up his spot in War Games easily. Oh, no, he didn't give up his spot. Ric Flair and Arn Anderson did. But tonight isn't about vengeance. It's about security for the Horsemen and WCW. They're there basically to test that Sting and Luger are the right people to take their spots.
Yeah.
I don't hate that idea.
No, I guess because if they beat the shit out of them, they get to go back in the War Games, right?
Exactly.
So it's a chance for them to redeem themselves a little further and also put them through their paces and get them to a point where it's like, this is the level of shit you're going to have to bring. So here we go. We're going to do it to you.
Exactly. Brav.
For those are keeping track on the official Gene Watch timer sponsored and brought to you by Rolex, we have 15 minutes, 8 seconds. So we had all the time in the world. As I said, Nancy kind of feeling Gene up a bit, trying to maybe throw him off his game a little bit. But Gene, consummate pro, does not get the knob out until the cameras have cut away.
Well done, Gene. And then he even gets a little bit of time between the next bit because we get a recap, video package-wise, of Savage's journey with the NWO. We see the chair shot from Hogan just before Clash 33. We see Savage's promise to sort out the Giant for dropping the ball and his chair-swinging assault at the end of Nitro. Gene Oakland's here with the Macho Man.
I spoke too soon again. He's only got it done the double-double.
Oh, he's done it.
49.50, which gives a round six a turnaround time of 4 minutes, 4 seconds.
He calls it the double bogey. Yeah. Well done, Gene. Savage is quiet but deadly right now.
The double back-to-back, Belgian. I never thought I'd see it.
It's you know what? Some days, you're glad you're alive. And one of those.
What our great sport's all about.
Halloween Havoc, Savage says, will be his day. He says he might have lost his marbles. He says, I might have only one marble in my head. Marble Mania stream tonight from 6 p.m. BST at twitch.tv/coldtoholic.
Is it?
It's Thursday, isn't it? You're not doing marbles on Thursday.
Is it the Thursday before a WWE pay-per-view, Tom?
It's the Thursday for an AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
Marbles next week?
Marbles next week.
There you go.
Fuck you.
Well, are you
sitting here?
You're on Twitch tonight, anyway.
Spouting out what I'm doing on my marble schedule. Who do you think you are? Gene Oakland. I'll be doing
a wanking stream.
It's the catch up stream from last week because obviously all the releases happened. So I'm doing GeoGuessr with the help of people from home.
Oh, nice.
So we're doing a call in stream. And then next week it will be Marble Mania.
GeoGuessr tonight, though, at 6 p.m. British summertime on Twitch.tv.
Right. You better be there. If you're not,
these are all your names.
If you're not, you're never getting into the Gene Federation.
The GWF. I'll give you one guess what the W stands for.
Winning.
Close enough.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Now, he guarantees that Hogan and Savage, says Savage, will be the scariest match of the decade. Nobody cares. I don't care. You don't care. So let's just let it happen. And then there's a really long pause because I think Savage was done, but Gene wasn't sure. So a long pause happens, and then Savage very slowly turns around like a cat that's just heard a bag of dreamies open and goes, do you know what I'm saying, Gene? To which Gene really nervously goes, well, I care. And Savage goes, I don't care that you care. And then he tells everyone that he's going to blow through the giant at Fall Brawl and storms off. Gene, as Savage is off screen, Gene says, hey, Savage, have you got a spare chair? And then Savage off screen shouts, I got 72 extra chairs. I don't know what's happening.
He's just got 72 chairs in his dress. He's taken all the backstage chairs for the night.
He's just got a weird thing, like a superstition, where he needs 72 chairs in his dressing room.
He's going to open and fold every one of them before the match.
Savage is a curious beast, but my God, is wrestling fantastic for him in it.
Oh,
my
yes.
God, there's nothing else like him. Now, I tell you what. There's also nothing like a nice, warm pizza made by a loving Italian family. Oh. That's why Jim Duggaroni Pizza is here!
Now that's a spicy pizza!
It is.
I can hear that echoing through the halls of wrestling time.
Now that's a spicy pizza.
The Italian crowd. Icon!
Now that's a spicy pizza! 10,000 people
flipping over his opponents with his giant paddle. Ah, bless him.
You thought the Austin pop at Mania the other year was loud.
You thought Rock coming back the other night was loud. Oh. Get fucking Duggaroni pizza out there.
Duggaroni pizza pop is nothing
just
like it.
Get him an oven and all night, like they do at Rush concerts with Geddy Lee, where you'd sometimes just instead of having amps because you just went straight into the PA, you'd have like rotisserie chicken and chefs would just cut up the rotisserie chicken and give it to people across like the front row.
Brilliant.
You should just have Duggan come out with like have wood fired, like hotter than the surface of the sun pizza ovens and have all the dough ready. And he's just flinging out hot, like greasy, molten temperature pizza onto people on like front row, all with extra cheese. So it's just really congealing and it's hard to get off your skin.
Over here, Jim. Oh, fucking hell.
Bang.
Stop.
He always lands top inside right on the face.
Oh, fucking hell. 17 people left the auditorium today with third degree burns.
For the little like Duggar maniacs. He cuts the light holes in it. So that they when it lands on them, they can just see through.
But their skin still burns.
Yeah, but that's your new skin now. You're a pizza person.
Oh, so it's a permanent skin graft.
Kinda, yeah. Unless you get it taken off.
Why would you ever take it off?
Yeah.
If you're a Duggaroniite.
You know, you can probably eat the bit around the bottom until your nerves fuse through and then it's gonna hurt you.
Jim Duggaroni Pizza has a spicy pizza on his hands tonight. He's fighting the giant. Once again, bell sounds and USA chants ring out. Duggan goes for a shoulder. And now this match is a great example of how fucking protected Jim Duggan is in WCW. Yeah. He goes for a shoulder, no luck. He goes for a second, and Jimmy Hart goes, no, don't give the giant a second shoulder. That's Ensville.
He's made of glass.
The giant will shatter. So Jimmy Hart tries to stop him, and Duggan gives chase around the ring. Giant gets out of the ring to get him. Duggan ends up fucking lamping the giant several times.
He's the trap.
Yeah, he ends up avoiding a strike into the turnbuckle because Giant takes over, puts him next to the turnbuckle post. Yeah. Giant runs at him. Duggan moves, and the post absorbs Giant's shoulder. As they are fighting back in the ring, and Giant gets Duggan in a bear hug. Who the fuck is this? Walking down the ringside area through the crowd.
That'd be Christian Minister Tedward DiBiase Jr.
Tedward DiBiase Jr.
He's just here in the crowd.
Ted is here.
And he sits down next to some fans.
And the fans are losing their
shit. Oh, yeah, I bet he had a great time.
Oh, my God. Ted DiBiase.
He's just is here. By just to watch, you know. He'd be backstage if he was here for any other purpose.
He's heard Jim's throwing out pizzas. I'm going to get some dinner. Now, as Ted watches, Duggan gives two honking tape fist strikes to the giant, and they have zero effect. He goes to hit one more, but then Jimmy Hart gets the 2x4, and he's going to twat Duggan with his own wood. Duggan swats him away, and it leads to Giant not just giving him a choke slam, but a fucking stalling choke slam. Gets him up there, holds him there like a fucking baby, lets him think about it for about 4 seconds, and then just goes, whoop-ah! Fuck, Giant's power at this point in his life, off the chart.
Oh, it's
looks
insane.
Fucking amazing.
Absolutely insane.
Believe it or not, Giant beats Duggan, but barely. Like, Duggan gets loads in.
Oh, yeah. Like, for somebody who's, we've seen sort of be padding out the bottom of the card for a while, Duggan slowly climbing up to just this mid-card position where he's just thrown in there to have nice little matches, I feel. Because he can do a whole range, right? He can do the really simple, really straightforward, cartoony style stuff. And then at other times, the kind of weird cartoony superhero element of him works in like standard matches. It's weird.
The only thing I'm sad about is that this kind of dispels the illusion that Jim Duggan came one punch away from winning the world title a few weeks back.
Yes.
Because the finish to Duggan versus Giant for the WCW title had Duggan frantically taping his fist, but never got to actually land it.
Yeah.
Here he lands like two of them and they do fuck all.
Yeah.
So you go, oh, he wasn't going to win anyway.
It's all right. He'll be a cleaner before long.
That's very true. He certainly will. Ted DiBiase is at ringside.
And he does this. And you'll not know what he does if you don't have Patreon.
I will tell you, though, because I'm not a monster. He gives a hand gesture symboling four.
Yeah.
And then moves his thumb to make five, to gesture five.
And then he mouths the word next week.
Next week.
Next week, everybody. Next week. And Bischoff's like, he's going to be the fifth horseman.
What does this mean? What could this possibly mean?
He's going to be the fifth horseman, guys.
That's the only thing it could mean. Me and Gene is waiting on the ramp.
Yeah.
He's had a little break now, bless him.
Round seven.
He speaks to the Giant and Jimmy Hart and says, what's the deal with Ted DiBiase being there? And Giant goes, yeah, I know. Randy Savage, eh? What a dick. It's like, no, it wasn't the line of inquiry, but yeah, sure, go off. He says the Giant is a coward. The only reason he didn't come to Hogwild was because he couldn't, and I quote, cut the job.
Sometimes you do, you've got to cut the job.
Cut the job. Sounds like something that Gene has been doing backstage.
So whatever your job is, mustard. You can cut the job, right?
Cut the job is the mustard. He couldn't cut the job. He promises Savage won't make it to Halloween Havoc. And Giant then says, I'm the world heavyweight champion. No, you're not. Bless him. Gene then gets a hanky and cleans the lens of the camera because Giant was very spitty and sweaty during that.
Yes, it was all Giant who was spitty and sweaty and getting stuff all over the camera. 57:48 on the official Gene watch timer brought to you by Rolex. This gives the round a turnaround time of 8 minutes 42. Now, when you accommodate for a leisurely stroll to ringside, it may have been a decisive finish, this one, pretty early.
Got it done in good form. Big fan of it. In fact, he pulled out two napkins, if you look. One of them's very crusty. So he quickly puts it back in his pocket and brings out a normal one.
Good. At least he didn't use the same one. Yeah, it's cross-contamination.
That camera was going to have children. from the Wrestling Observer, the debut of Ted DiBiase is being teased as him becoming the fifth member of the Horsemen. And teased that he looked in great shape and would come out of retirement. And they would introduce then a sixth member of the Horsemen following week.
Yeah, be God.
Be God.
Yeah.
What's God?
Ted DiBiase, God, and the Horsemen. That writes itself.
I suppose it does, yeah. It does write itself. The real plan for now is that he's actually
just
going to
don't
be...
Don't check the tax books.
No, don't look at them. Now, whilst, of course, it is being teased that DiBiase, as Bischoff said, is going to join the Horsemen, the real plan for now is he's going to be the coach/manager of the NWO and not be an active competitor. The plan is to introduce Sean Waltman as the NWO's fourth member on Nitro in the forthcoming weeks. There may be a backup plan, however, if Waltman's deal isn't quite worked out. The WWF is in its release and that they've offered Sean Waltman his release. But it's still not being completed. And I think we talked about this a bit last week. They're being very pernickety about how Sean Waltman presents himself on WCW.
Yeah.
None of the sort of motions or poses.
So in comes number four or number five, depending on how you look at it. And he is called Six.
Mm.
Why they couldn't just call him Sean Pack? You know, I know he was an X-Pac at this point, but if he was Sean Pack, I just think that would have been funnier.
Where's the pack come
oh
from?
Oh my God, it's Sean Pack!
The future. Now, because there's still legal dealings because of Scott Hall and Razor Ramon, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, rather, they are very reticent to put Sean Mottman on TV without making sure the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, just because they don't want any more legal
bother. Imagine this room full of like 15 executives going, what are we going to call it? The 3-2-1 kid? And all of his matches, that the pins are counted from 3-1. And it, like we call him the Lightning Sean.
Wait a minute, guys. I figured it out. Flips over a whiteboard and they've written 3 + 2 + 1 = 6.
Oh, my God. And they've got it.
And the Sting from Only Murders in the Building plays. They've cracked it. They've cracked the case.
And then next week's, like, the teaser for next week's episode is how we spell 6 to make it look cool.
It is the 90s, after all. Yeah, so Ted DiBiase is here. They tease in a wrestling capacity. He won't be. He'll be in a non-wrestling capacity. He was done with the WWF quite a while ago, and I think it was a case of waiting out the end of his contract before he came in. It was pretty unhappy
DiBiase's
with
his career, though, man. Like, if you look back at DiBiase's career, like, the height of the Million Dollar Man shit was, like, pretty much the end of his career. Like, he'd had such a long run before that.
Yeah.
Like, 20 years before then, I think, even. Like, he was, you know, just tearing shit up on, like, the territory circuit. So, like, it's bizarre to think that guy's career's kind of already been and gone, and now he's back.
Do you know what's great, though? What? Is that the final gift that he gave the World Wrestling Federation before he left was his new protege, the Ringmaster.
I think you'll find it was Ted DiBiase Jr.
That man is
and
not
then Cameron
a gift.
Grimes. Ringmaster, who the fuck's he? Yeah, what's he ever going to do with his life?
He'll be a good
He'll be fucking Glacier in no time.
Fucking good hand in the mid-card, if nothing else. Oh, yeah, Stone Cold Glacier.
He's just a million-dollar dream and an entrance. That's all
he'll ever be. Never drew a dome. The Rock and Roll Expresser in action in a rematch from Nitro 7 million years ago.
Against Flan.
Flan.
Flare it on. Flan.
No, I like it. Flan.
But you've got to say it with that gusto every time.
Flan.
Flan on the takedown.
This is on the telly. Flan.
Big block white aerial ball. A black screen. Flan. We've come up with a way to get rid of the NWO. It's Flan.
No, not even the NWO can stop Flan.
It sounds like the type of fucking like miracle cream you'd buy that can fix your car and skin. Like, just get a jar of Flan.
Just cover it in Flan.
If you throw it in the oven, it turns into like a lovely cake. It's just cream.
It's a toy
it's
for the
David
kids.
Firth cream.
It's a toy for the kids. Flan. It'll make you younger. Flan. So Flan are in action. Ted DiBiase is watching and nodding.
Yeah, that's all he really does is just kind of go.
Yeah, nod. Yes, that is wrestling that's happening. No interaction really between Flair and Anderson or the Rock and Roll Express with Ted DiBiase. Woman uses her fingernails on the eyes of Robert Gibson, so it's zero effective. Bischoff and Heenan contemplate.
Cruel, cruel man. You're a cruel motherfucker. What did Robert Gibson ever do to you?
He wouldn't look me in the eye. Bischoff and Heenan contemplate what DiBiase's very obvious comment could mean about 4 and 5.
He's going to be the fifth horseman.
Fifth horseman. It's got to be fifth horseman. Rock and Roll have a final flurry, but Ricky Morton absorbs an inverted atomic drop from Flair and then a DDT, fucking sharp as fuck DDT, from Arn Anderson. And he gets the 1, 2, 3, and Flan won.
Flan.
Flan.
That should just be their reference.
Flan.
Flan.
Is that their theme?
Flan. Yeah. While Jimmy Hart's just in the background joining in.
Flan, baby.
I wrote this. Flan.
Flan. The either screen is
one
just...
lone fan stands up at the back. It's always a plan. But you see one lone fan stand up, wipes up, just wicks away a tear and just starts going in time with the Flan chants, and then the whole fucking place is bouncing. Who needs the horseman? And you got Flan.
It's not a million miles away from what Joe Hendry and you or Amora have been doing on Impact. Can I get a Joya? It's not a million miles away from Joya. It's Flan.
Flan. Flan. Flan. Flan. Flan. Flan. Flan. Flan.
It's quite eerie. If I was the NWO, I'd leave. That's too weird.
Everybody's going to say it the exact same voice. Sort of like Hypnotoad.
Flan.
Flan.
Flan. Flan. Flan. Flan. Flan. Flan. Anyway, Flan are talking to Gene at ringside. Arn says the hourglass has been turned on the NWO, and when the cage shuts at War Games, you'll look into our guts and you'll know the kind of men we are. Look into my guts.
You look into my guts, son. You look into my guts and you see in yourself a man.
I'm not in a rush to look into anyone's guts.
Well, Gene...
but I'm sure there's someone on OnlyFans that could probably sort that.
Gene's round eight here. registered in and clocked in at 106.38 on the Gene Watch timer. Brought to you by Rolex. Giving what must have been an agonising night of competition for Gene, an official eighth round time of 8 minutes 50. Woman then grabs a hold of Gene some more. Arn then tells him off for ogling woman. And that's about it in terms of Gene Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For now.
8 minutes or so, he probably got by.
Yeah.
He's got to be suffering now, though. 8 rounds.
He's looking a bit sweaty.
Main event's still in sight.
There's still another match before then. Alex Wright is in action. He's facing... Oh, my God!
It's the Jera Child.
Feel it come, feel it coming! Judas in my far distant mind. Chris Jericho's here.
God, back before he sang himself to the ring, eh?
Yeah.
What a competitor.
Come on, baby! Here he is! It is an embryonic, barely born, amoebic Chris Jericho.
The Jera Child.
The Jera Child, if you will. This is Chris Jericho's WCW debut. He's bounced around the scene in Canada as part of Stampede.
Comes running down the ramp like, WCW for life, baby!
He's such a lovely man.
So blue chipper.
Such a blue chipper.
Such Chris, very Jericho.
Got spotted in ECW, as most people do. Got offered some work with WCW, and this is where it begins for a man that will genuinely become a WWE Hall of Famer at some point. He has to go in the Hall of Fame at some point.
Yeah.
It's Chris Jericho. He's won everything.
He decided he was going to take his ball and go to Jacksonville, right? Get in their fucking Hall of Fame, can't he, yeah? Eh? Eh?
They haven't got one.
It's that meme where the guy gets thrown out of the window.
Oh, yeah.
That's just like, we're going to put in the Hall of Fame this year. We're in Winnipeg. It's like, oh, we could put in Chris Jericho. No, he's got to go in the Hall of Fame. Like, there's no way he's not, you know, a Hall of Famer the second he retires.
Eric Bischoff calls Chris Jericho an upstanding young wrestler. This is a great technical encounter between these two. Jericho, bless him, even all these years before we see him to this day, all these years later, he's still doing the same thing as he's got a submission hold on Alex Wright. You hear him going, ask him! Ask him! Which is something that Jericho does to this day.
Yes.
It's great. I love it. It's stayed with him. A Jericho dropkick to the outside. Lovely stuff. This is his iconic. Jump onto the turnbuckle whilst your opponent's on the apron and dropkick him off. It's great. Looks lovely. He misses a dive into the corner. It gives Alex Wright an opening. And you see Alex Wright land an axe handle to the outside. But in doing so, he cracks his head on the barricade.
Yeah.
Jericho gets back into the ring and the referee counts out Alex Wright. He gets to 9 and Jericho stops him. And sort of hand gestures to end the match. And then it was announced by David Penza that Chris Jericho doesn't want to win that way. So therefore, the match is a no contest. And the crowd fucking hate it.
Of course they do.
Shit finish.
You've got a German guy on the outside. You've got him as good as beat. He's not going to fight back and you're not going to stamp on him. You're not very American, are you? And you go, I'm from Canada, actually. And they'll go... All right, we'll boo you anyway then.
This can't be. And I tried to find something about this. This can't have been the creative.
I was trying to watch it back. I couldn't quite see. But it feels like it was maybe genuine.
Yeah, like when you say genuine, you mean like this was what they had planned?
I don't know. Part of me thinks like it's kind of gone a bit sideways, a bit skew-iff.
Yeah, it didn't feel like this was how it was meant to go.
Well, we get a quick flash in the pan match next, don't we?
Mm.
Which would have sort of taken up the rest of the time.
Well, now this is his Nitro debut, but Jericho had also appeared on WCW Saturday Night.
He doesn't think Nitro's important, does he?
He defeated Mr.
You're not
going to
get very far in your career doing shit like that, are you, debut on Saturday Night?
So technically, he had already had a match and had a victory.
2023, we'll just not even be talking about you. Guarantee it.
Oh, I need my phone back now because I haven't printed off my final page of my notes, so I'm going to use my mobile device.
Shambles.
I am a shambles.
Do you want me to take over for now?
No, I mean, if you've got, unless you've got, because next we have Outside the Ring, Mean Gene meeting Jericho and Alex Wright at ringside.
We do. So for round nine, Gene clocks in at 1:16:36. So a 9:58 turnaround here for Gene in round nine. Nine rounds so far with the main event still to come. What a trooper. Gene says that Jericho's a breath of fresh air because Jericho's like, I'm not beating him in this this sort of manner because he's like hurt and stuff. And Gene's kind of nice to Jericho. Jericho says he respects Wright, wouldn't win like that, and then runs down Hogan and the NWO because he's WCW for life, baby.
This is such a white meat, milk toast, babyface reaction.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? It's like, oh, you're going to be the biggest fucking star in the world.
It's a guy, obviously he's done all this, and then obviously he knows where the power lies. It's getting the Hogan NWO thing over, yeah. So I've got to get that in. It puts me in mind of, I went for an interview to get a breakfast show job back in 2011. I went for an interview, and the man who would become my boss for several years, I had a chat, I was in his office, and he was doing a charity ab sale that weekend. And I had about £6 to my name before I got paid on the Friday. And I donated £5 just to make a point. Oh, look, I'll sponsor you.
Yeah.
I'll sponsor. And he was like, oh, I appreciate that. And it was just like, I don't know why I did that. It felt like I was just trying to curry favor in thinking. And I ended up working with him for about 4 years, so it was great. And I don't think that act made the difference. But like Jericho going like, hey, WCW for life, give me a gig, please.
As if they're not going to take him on full time.
What a comparison, though, because Juventud Guerrero tried to do exactly the same thing, but the language barrier really let him down. Mm. Both having these Nitro debuts. And
it's just a shame that Jericho will not even get close to the legacy the Juice has.
Oh my God, no one will, to be fair. Nobody will. Straight away, back into action.
Jericho,
they have a little break.
Only got to do promos with The Rock. Hoovy got mentioned.
Hoovy was The Rock.
Hoovy was The Rock, yeah.
Oh, he did get mentioned, didn't he?
Yeah.
The Rock gave Juventud a mention.
Is that not why Hoovy starts just trying to be The Rock?
Possibly. Yeah. The Steiner brothers are in action. They're taking on Dave Taylor and Robert Eaton of the Blue Bloods.
And as we come to the ring, it's already underway, pretty much. They've made their entrances. So good to go.
Robert Eaton, we talked about this last week, being billed as being from Stoke-on-Trent.
Yes.
Okay, there's a reason for this.
I saw this.
William Regal revealed this. So it was Regal's idea to build Robert Eaton as some Stoke-on-Trent. Now, this is Regal's wording, and it's of the time, so bear with. He says Stoke-on-Trent, which is rhyming slang for bent, as in, like, it's fictional, it's fake, it's not real, it's incorrect. Like,
it's a bit dodgy.
It's a bit sus. In that context, bent was meant to rhyme with Stoke-on-Trent.
Yeah.
So that's why he's from Stoke-on-Trent. So it's a little rib from Regal.
It's just a rib anyway, because he's from Stoke.
I ain't gonna offer any observation on that.
Any further? Just you should have just replied with Google it.
Look at Stoke. Sorry, Duck, but come on now. when Stafford's a breath of fresh air, there's a problem. Now, Steiners and Blue Bloods, Dave Taylor and Robert Eaton are arguing about who started the match. So Rick Steiner starts for them, bouncing both their heads together.
Yeah,
wasted time. It's all Ricky Baby for ages. Lovely power slam by Rick Steiner at one point as well. Dave is bloody livid with Robert on the outside because Robert's just getting shooed. Dave goes, look, I'll show you how it's done. And Dave Taylor gets into the ring and insists on Rick Steiner getting in there with him. Mm. And it starts okay for Dave, but then Rick ends up just putting a beating on him as well.
Yeah, and then it's more just kind of standing around and arguing while the Steiners showboat.
The big finish comes, and Scott doesn't really do much in this. The big finish comes because Robert grabs Rick from behind and holds him so Dave can hit him, but Rick moves! So Dave hits Robert Eaton, but Robert Eaton manages to go, don't worry, we'll shake this off, lads, it'll be fine. Dave Taylor then shakes it off. He puts Rick Steiner on his shoulders. Robert Eaton comes off the top rope, Rick Steiner catches him and turns it into a fucking power slam, which was nice. And that gets the three. Steiner literally hops into the ring just to quickly shoo Dave Taylor out.
Yeah.
So the Steiners pick up a win. Dave Taylor and Robert Eaton are arguing afterwards and they start fucking kicking fuck out of each other.
They start actually fighting, yeah. So the Blue Bloods are now falling apart. It's been teased for a couple of weeks.
No.
But we're finally there.
End of
wrestling's greatest tag team. Wrestling's greatest stable has finally come to an end. Talk about people like Buddy Rogers, you know, Pedro Morales. They couldn't hold a candle to the Blue Bloods.
They could not hold an candle. As they
at the moment, it's bigger than the curtain call, mate.
They fight off to the back as Gene is speaking to Rick and Scott Steiner. They just sort of fight past them.
And Steiner's like, oh, they're fighting each other now. Yeah, who cares?
You know, I keep putting my phone away, but I need it. Isn't it funny? Rick Steiner is thrown down to Harlem Heat, promising to beat them at Halloween Havoc. Scott says, no, it's full brawl.
Yes. Yeah, it's not Halloween because they start talking about pumpkins and dogs and Harlem Heat. And it's very strange. It's your standard Stein affair.
Rick had a really lovely bit about Halloween, and then Scott had to go, no, we're fighting them at full brawl. And so you could tell Rick was annoyed. Like, I had this whole bit. But Scott saves it by saying, before the hens in the pen are going cock-a-doodle-doo, me and the dog-faced gremlin are training. Harlem Heat at full brawl, we're going to get radical.
The one time he could have probably got away with saying cocks on TV.
I mean, he did.
Yeah. If you want to look at it, you know, from a different standpoint here, of course, they were being spoken to by one mean Gene Okerlund. This would be round 10 for Gene. clocking it at 1:22.28. The official Gene watch time is a svelte 5:52, brought to you by Rolex.
Nice.
So Steiners are confused about the infight, and as you said, kick off about all that bollocks, and then it's time for the main event.
Eric Bischoff and Bobby Heenan very quickly give us a talk up for the main event. Heenan tells the NWO, you want to paint the town red? Flair knows how to paint the town red. Bring your spray paint. Wait till you see what's going to happen in the cage at full brawl.
And just you wait for the fifth horseman, guys.
Oh, yeah, the fifth horseman.
He sat waiting.
The fifth horseman. Definitely the fifth horseman. The main event is Steve McMichael and Chris Benoit, who have their own music. They're facing Stang and Lex Luger. And this is a fucking brawl from the off.
Yeah, it's straight into a fight. They're just bringing it to him, like just laying in strikes.
Horseman working over Lex Luger for a bit. Benoit really going to town verbally on Lex as well, like shouting at him, which is quite cool.
Screaming WBF at him, slapping him around.
I can pro this, you motherfucker.
Gary Stryker!
Hot tag to Sting. Sting clears house. Nearly gets a scorpion submission on Mongo, but Benoit makes the save. The match breaks down once again. And what the fuck is this hot dog wandering down to the ring? It's any Hollywood Hogan.
Oh, no. He's here. Right after a load of people were like, oh, yeah, I know what you're like. You leave, right? Because you're a bunch of dicks. You turn up backstage. You don't even come out. Foreshadowing.
Was indeed. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash aren't too far behind as Hogan begs off from Mongo. He suckers him into a trap from Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. They strike on Mongo as the bell sounds for the non-finish to our main event.
And then they just sort of take it over the line, don't they, Tom?
Oh, mate, so far over the line. We can't even see them anymore. They're in the vanishing point. Mongo gets sprayed on the... Mongo gets beaten down and then NWO sprayed on his back.
Yeah.
In the ring, Benoit and Sting get razor's edges / jackknife power bombs, and then Hogan does the deal on them. They get NWO spray painted on their back.
Why wasn't there ever a jackknife edge, a razor's knife power bomb?
Ooh, how would you
just you bring them up over your shoulders and then just fucking release them? Just
there was
just really, really no. It's not. It's sort of border toss, right?
There's two versions. There's the border toss.
Yeah.
And the last ride.
Yeah.
Last ride, because it has that little lift at the end.
But I think you need to, they need to start at a very awkward position on your own shoulders just to make it funnier. You've got to start at the razor's edge position and then just sort of move it somehow over the shoulders and down in one big fluid motion.
Would a Liger Bomb, would a Liger Bomb maybe be? No.
Maybe.
No.
I don't know. But either way, it's got to come from an 8-foot tall man.
Undertaker. That's the one. Yeah, so Ric Flair on the outside gets beaten around by Hogan. Hogan doesn't spray paint NWO straight away. No, he grabs a spray paint and he sprays a black streak through the white hair of Flair. Yeah.
And sprays him in the eyes, of course, as well.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah, he gets him in the eyes as well. It's just a disgusting, horrible attack. And the fans, who have been fucking hating Nitro all night, really show their absolute disgust by just bombarding the ring with cans and drinks and detritus.
I get why we don't do the throwing trash stuff anymore, but there is such a fucking visual to it.
Yeah.
There is such a fucking visual to shit getting thrown in the ring. It's just, it's amazing. It always makes me kind of nostalgic. I don't know what it is.
After a little bit of hot dogging and grandstanding as the rubbish throws around them, Hogan, Nash and Hall leave everybody flat out in the ring, head towards the announce table, and Bischoff and Heenan take a powder. And what Hogan goes for here is, you know, I see what he was going for. He didn't really scan. He went, you know, like Jack Nicholson, here's the NWO. Doesn't quite scan Hogan, but I appreciate what you were going for. And as Hall and Nash put themselves over on the commentary table with the headsets on, Hogan goes around the front and on the Nitro emblem on the commentary table spray paints NWO.
And then we cut back to the ring and it's really awkward. It's just a couple of people like picking themselves up and looking around.
It's just like the end of it.
The end of the show.
It's like the morning after a house party. Yeah. It was just like that. And I mean, a hot, hot ending to the show that you know, re-established the NWO as a threat.
A winter grade crowd.
Yes.
Jesus.
They didn't deserve that cool ending.
No, they didn't.
They did not deserve it.
Like a 60-minute Iron Man level draw.
Yeah.
Of just rest holds.
The Observer writes, there is another outsider on the booking sheet starting on the 28th of September in Columbus, Ohio. Sheets released to The Observer list outsider number 4 to be facing Jim Powers, and outsider number 5 teaming with Hall and Nash to face Flair, Anderson and Benoit. Speculation, I don't believe Jeff Jarrett is free for another week. Davey Boy Smith's original contract was up this week. We haven't heard that he's officially re-signed. He's being pushed in WWF as if he's in their long-term plans. Whoever number 5 is has to be a big name because he's going to work a singles program with Sting.
It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Just you wait.
So that's some early... So we could see New Horseman as soon as next week. And apparently big names.
Well, we've already had Ted sit there and say he's going to be a New Horseman. Definitely a New Horseman. He actually definitely said it. Eric Bischoff reiterated that he's going to be a New Horseman, guys. So, you know, you just don't even think about
Ted. Don't worry, guys.
Just think about every other wrestler.
He's a New Horseman, guys. It's fine. It'll be fine. Busy Nitro.
Yeah, very busy Nitro.
Lots in there.
A lot going on, but again, it's gelling to the point where you're getting a nice range of stuff. It was a shame the crowd really weren't on board.
No.
It was a shame that the fucking Cruiserweight title match had to be the one with the constant cutting back. Because it felt like there was like a limiter on that for the first half of it. And then, you know, it felt kind of like it fell over in places, but Gene got some good times in.
As he always does.
Good week.
As he always does.
He had like a 2-minute turnaround at one point, Tom. If that's not a world record for the time.
How would you grade Gene's wanking performance based on last week?
I'd say that he definitely had more to do this week, for sure. It felt like there was a lot more going on in terms of, you know, backstage role for Gene. So he's had to juggle both of those things there, but, you know, he's a solid competitor. And, you know, he didn't get to where he is without his skill set.
Very great answer. Yeah. Strong answer. On the
World Championships next year.
Sam's on Twitch tonight. If you're listening to this on the Thursday that it comes out, if not, you've missed him. Where have you been, you coward?
Yeah. Shambolic.
AEW Wrestle Dream this weekend as the memory of Antonio Inoki watches over AEW on Sunday.
Slapping everybody.
Bitch slapping. I do hope the ghost of Inoki does turn up and just fucking.
Are you going to afford a hologram?
He accidentally books the ABBA ones instead. Yeah. Oh, no.
Bjorn comes down, starts slapping someone around.
It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Yeah. I'd love that. You can watch if it happens with us, live reactions with myself and Fraser Porter Sunday night on the Cultaholic YouTube channel. Predictions and 9 pitches before that, and then what happened at and the WTF moments to follow as well. Also on the podcast feed over the weekend, since there is a bit of a focus on wrestling in Japan, I haven't told you this yet, I don't think. Did you catch the Bullet Train match?
I've not had a chance to watch it yet, but I am excited.
I had a bit of time chatting with the president of DDT Pro, Sanshiro Takagi.
Amazing.
And we talked all about the Bullet Train match.
Oh, that's sweet.
A special podcast presentation on the Bullet Train match on the podcast feed on Sunday.
That's incredible.
He's great.
Can't wait to check
What a
out.
Lovely man.
Yeah.
The one that was, and I asked him what one of the big issues were with putting that match together, one of the problems they faced. The answer surprised me. Nothing, not anything to what I thought it was going to be. But you can hear it on the podcast feed on Sunday. And for the latest wrestling news throughout the day, you can check out cultaholic.com. He's at TheSamDriver on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together,
Gene, let go of it, Gene. Stop it.
It'll fall off, Gene.
It's stopped and we're done.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.